When was the last time you lined up around the block waiting to catch a film at your local theatre on its premiere day? Well, since the first Star Wars movie premiere in 1977, it was a stable for the subsequent installments. But now, 45 years later, Star Wars has shifted from the big screen to the one in your living room. The pivot to streaming services continues with the release of Disney Plus's Obi-Wan Kenobi this Friday.
Jedi cannot help what they are. Their compassion leaves a trail. The Jedi Code is like an itch. He cannot help it. Where is he?
That's the trailer for the new Star Wars series Obi-Wan Kenobi. Wenli Ma is a TV and film critic at news.com.au and a regular, of course, on Breakfast. Wenli Ma, when Disney announced its streaming service, the eyes of Star Wars fans lit up around the world. Star Wars obsessives, well, just got extra obsessed. Is the platform delivering for them?
I think you could definitely argue it is. One of the first big shows on Disney Plus was The Mandalorian, which is a spin-off from Star Wars, and it's had two seasons so far, and it is probably one of the buzziest shows of the past 2 or 3 years. And I think, you know, The Mandalorian's success sort of spurned Lucasfilms, which is owned by Disney, to kind of go, okay, we've had great box office successes with our movies. Sometimes they are, you know, divisive, as some of the movies of the most recent trilogy have been. Let's see what we can do on streaming instead. So they've really brought to streaming these sort of really grand scale epic stories that are very ambitious, like massively budgeted, and have huge stars like Ewan McGregor, who reprises his role in Obi-Wan Kenobi. And there was a feature article that came out in Vanity Fair last week that very much seems to suggest that the future of Star Wars is not really on the big screen. It is very much on streaming, because they're just surging ahead with a whole stable of Disney Plus shows that are based around Star Wars properties. There are four in the works, and they're all pretty well in advanced development. Whereas, you know, their movie offerings, it seems to be kind of floundering. There's nothing really concrete that is definitely happening. There's a few projects that are being mooted that will be helmed by, you know, Kiwi director Taika Waititi, another one by Patty Jenkins, but I don't even think they're very much past the script stage. Whereas they've come out and they've gone out and announced and said, we're going to do these huge Star Wars movie trilogies with the Game of Thrones producers, and then it didn't happen. We're going to do one with Rian Johnson, and then that didn't happen. So it seems like streaming is the future of Star Wars.
So you think that because streaming is the future of Star Wars, it's kind of got not much of a future on the big screen?
I think it still has a future on the big screen, but I just think Kathleen Kennedy, who is the president of Lucasfilms, has kind of turned around and said, you know what, we can turn these streaming series around much faster. We can deliver a lot more, the dreaded C word, content for our fans at a more regular level, whereas the movies seem to be really hard. They've had a really hard time. You know, they've had directors kind of quit or be fired halfway through a project and having to get replacements on. It just seems like they're floundering a bit in the film space, even though they still make billions of dollars on it, whereas it seems like everything that they're kind of doing on the small screen seems to be working and getting people excited. They're not, you know, catching fan derision from having potentially made Luke Skywalker, heavens forfend, an old man. So I think for them, they're very much focusing on streaming, and the movies are just sort of chugging along in the background. But it remains to see when we're even going to see another Star Wars movie in the cinema.
Yeah. Okay, also out this week are new episodes of the sci-fi adventure Stranger Things, one of Netflix's really popular shows. Netflix has been stuck in a cycle of negative publicity after it was revealed a month ago that it's losing subscribers. Does that put extra pressure on Stranger Things to do well?
I think so. I think Netflix needs a big splashy win. Stranger Things is probably the one that's going to deliver it in the short to medium term. Stranger Things has been out for years, so you could actually almost argue the show is a little long in the tooth for Netflix, but it does remind audiences and subscribers that Netflix is or has been known for these big tentpole shows as much as broadcast television is known for, you know, big tentpole reality shows, and go, well, actually, they're still spending a lot of money. They're still renewing shows that you really like. respect, because Netflix has kind of gained a reputation for culling and cancelling shows really quickly after one or two seasons, which I think, you know, annoys a lot of fans when they go, I really like this show, and then within 6 weeks, yeah, that's done. We're not bringing any more of that back. So Stranger Things, if it makes a big noise, if it's well received, I think it puts Netflix back on the right foot, and it helps them kind of gain momentum into the second half of the year, where they've got things like The Crown coming back.
And of course, one of the biggest live TV events played out the past weekend, the federal election. Every main channel had its own rolling coverage. The one night everyone in the country becomes an armchair expert in preference counts and swings. Just like we were COVID experts, we are like, you know, seat experts all of a sudden. What were the ratings like?
The ratings were really, really solid. I mean, if you think about the fact there was a Saturday night, you know, people generally have other plans on. I think it's done really pretty well. We're not really going to see ratings in the 2 million anymore like we used to 10, 15 years ago. But if you looked at the top 20 rated programs for that night, 14 of them were basically election or news coverage. The ABC led the way, followed by Channel 7 and then 9. It is just a lot of TV coverage for the election. So the highest time slot was about almost a million. So I think that is really solid, especially when it is fractured across all the different channels. So if you add them all up, you're talking about millions and millions of people. And of course, election coverage night is now very much a second screen experience too. I believe the digital news websites all had bumper days, as everybody looked at the screen, looked down at their phones and wondered, how exactly did my polling booth go?
How did my polling booth go? Yeah, right down to the minutia. What else should we look out for this week?
Yeah, there are three other things that might be interesting for listeners this week. There's a drama called Tokyo Vice. It is set in Japan and it follows a young American detective who decides to move there and gets caught up in things to do with the gangs there. That stars Ansel Elgort. And there's a documentary on Amazon Prime Video called Kick Like Taylor, and that follows Taylor Harris, the superstar from the AFLW, and just kind of follows her journey and just some of the challenges that female athletes have in an arena very much dominated by men still. And then there is a sci-fi series on Stan called From. It stars Howard Perrineau from Romeo and Juliet, and it's kind of interesting because it is about people trapped in a town trying to get out. So maybe it's a little triggering after 2 years of lockdown, but it watches a lot better when you know you can leave.
This is not actually happening to me. Yeah. Excellent. All right. As always, wonderful job. Thank you.
Thank you.
Wenli Ma, TV and film critic at news.com.au, and you're listening to ABCRN Breakfast.
Listen to more great stories that take you beyond the headlines. Ask your smart speaker to play ABCRN.